Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Advocate Bangisi, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you. How are you keeping?
Very well, thank you. Machaya kondukwa.
Nathi siphile enkosi, inkosi siphethe ngenxeba, man.
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear that, man. Great to hear that. Now, we're going to be talking about ethics and morality, and want to analyze the relationship between these complementary concepts, that is ethics, morality, morality and law, and the difference between legality and morality. And while these related concepts may share some common features, how do they actually relate to one another? So this is what would have, if you're listening and joining us, we want to have actually uncovered this together with Advocate Bangisi. So, Advocate, please explain to us the meanings and the differences between legal ethics and morality.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Morality, all of us, we appreciate that these are principles that individuals would naturally hold within their environment, either in business, either in their community life, or they would hold such principles as well in their religion, not necessarily because these are fundamentals in their space, but because they are good practices that ought to be adhered to for the purposes of maybe doing business in a better way or living a life that would be acceptable. Now, morality, and I'm explaining it in general terms because in religious terms, morality will go to the Ten Commandments, for instance.
Okay.
Morality would in the space of general life also apply not only in regard to Ten Commandments, it would rub shoulders with what we call ethics. And ethics also, it is where we say this conduct is acceptable in this kind of business. Let's take an example of ethics.
Okay.
It is ethically acceptable for advocates to not take money direct from clients in the street. It is a rule of practice.
Okay.
And it is in ethics. Recently, that rule of practice has been modified to the extent where we say, if an advocate is able to keep a fidelity account, so let's say a trust account, and has insurance from the fidelity fund, then he can take money direct from the clients. Otherwise, an advocate at all times should remain a referral official, and he may not take money from the clients on the ground. The client of the advocate is the attorney. So you have that rule of ethics. Let's go to natural living out there where you and I live. You know, municipalities have a bylaw that says you may not urinate in public.
Yeah.
That particular rule, it is a moral rule that somehow you can be arrested for by municipal officials. We no longer have municipal police as a result. We only have traffic police. We only have the South African police who will actually lock you up. But long ago, we used to have the black jacks who would represent the municipal office, police. If they see you urinating in public, you would be arrested because it is immoral to do so. In other words, it is indecent to those who are looking that you are urinating. Nowadays, that is not done. you find people, especially all men, both black and white, urinating anyhow. Let's take another example on morality and ethics. In morality, you have a rule that says, in religious terms, you may not have sexual intercourse with the wife of another man. And vice versa, that applies as well.
Yeah.
In the life that we live today, there are people who justify that if you have, let's take a good one. If you have one wife, you can speak to your wife, shall I say, if you are married in a civil marriage, speak to her before you get married elsewhere and ask that you get married to a second wife in a polygamous situation. And if your wife does not allow that, it would be immoral of you to go ahead and marry out there. And it will also be unethical to do so. So morality, to some extent, rubs shoulders with the ethics part of it. It is the space that you are in where you make that decision that this is unethical or it is immoral. You take the law. Let's go to the law. The law says, if I want to abort when I am pregnant,
right,
I can go to the hospital or to an approved agency for abortion purposes, and it can conduct abortion successfully as long as the rules that apply to doing that abortion are adhered to. So there are rules there that apply. But morality might well apply to a nurse or a person who is asked to conduct that abortion on the patient. And the nurse, he or she says, my conscience does not allow me to do so. It is not morally acceptable to my conscience and to my way of living to act in that fashion. Although it is legally permissible for a person to go and do that abortion, if I do not want to engage in that transaction, another nurse may well at least take that job and, conduct the abortion process, and it would be legally acceptable. And that we call the principle of legality. We call it the principle of legality. The principle of legality engages us all. If it is in the law, if it is in legislation, in other words, or it is in our common law, and it is something that can be done, legally speaking, yes, it can be done. Let's take insango.
Yeah.
Daha, or we have other names that we normally use. What other names do we have? What names do we have, Zama?
For insango. Hemp, marijuana.
Yeah, hemp, marijuana, but there is a very nice word we use now in South Africa.
Oh.
I will remember that word. If the Constitutional Court issues a judgment as it did, that if I plant dagga in my yard and it is for me, there is nothing illegal about it. But there is something illegal about it when I plant it and then I start selling it to the entire public. It is no longer for my domestic use. I am abusing the law in that particular sense. I wonder whether you knew this. It is not carte blanche that because the Constitutional Court said, yes, it can be used, therefore it can be used anyhow. There are conditions to using it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the principle of legality is that you can use that particular dagha if you wish to use it domestically here. And then, of course, it goes on. It says, if it is also used for medicinal purposes. It can be planted in large amounts, but as long as it is used for medicinal purposes, it is in order to do so. Now you will find another team of doctors or health people saying, this is opening opening an abuse of it, because we know exactly that there are people who will abuse it anyway. So the very fact that it has been opened, that it can be planted in my space, it has already opened use of it by all people, therefore it gets abused. And those health people are not wrong in essence, because they have a justification where we know by now that you take Nzangu and you go on and on and on with it, you will eventually be affected in the brain.
I was actually thinking about the word cannabis. That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, cannabis. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. So the principle of legality applies where the law says it is. So this is the law. It will be above all other, I'm talking about substantive law. We are talking here law in the purest sense, as I said, legislation or cases. In cases, we have what we call common law, constitutional law. For instance, in constitutional law, you may not kill anybody intentionally. It doesn't matter whether I have killed or I didn't kill. In South Africa, you shall not hang me and sentence me to death simply because I've killed and I've committed a heinous crime.
Yeah.
That's the law. You can run and complain. The law says you may not kill me as the state because of what I have done. That's the law.
Now,
whether it is moral or not, it is not an issue. That's the law that prevails at the moment.
Yeah. Before you continue then, going towards a wrap-up, I've got a follow-up question here that's coming on the line from a listener. The question is morality fluid and subjective, or is it absolute? For example, in the case of abortion. And they follow up by saying, can it be moral for one person and immoral for another?
All right. Let's move again from the principle that it is the law and it is an acceptable practice that if I want to abort, I shall abort. Mm-hmm. It's given, finish and clear.
Right.
Secondly, if we move from there, is it fluid? Is morality fluid or something? What other expression did you use there?
They said, is it fluid and subjective?
Yeah. To a large degree, morality would be subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to a very large degree, morality would be subjective. If you say it would be fluid, yeah, it may well vary from one community to the next, from one generation to the next. The generation we are in today, many things that are wrong in the past are no longer wrong today. So it develops. Even common law, our law, common law, develops as well. That's why some common law is not put into legislation. Because you might find something in the future that develops, and common law will be developed as well. So morality is a very fluid phenomenon.
Yeah.
It may be standing for some time. It may stand for a full, complete generation or two.
Mm-hmm.
But in your technological and modern development that we have today, morality really is like a rolling stone. It's dynamic. It changes from one generation to the next. I mean, like abortion is, I've just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a very good one. A very good one is prostitution.
Right, right, right.
You know, we no longer call prostitutes prostitutes. We no longer call them that. Mm. We now call them sex workers. Mm-hmm. Because if you call them prostitutes, you are insulting them. And that's something this generation will take one to task about. Mm. Because you are committing an insult against sex workers. Mm. But you know it by now that it is still a criminal offense. You can be arrested for committing prostitution. There is a, therefore, that move along in the whole world, including in South Africa, to have prostitution legalized, let them be professionalized. That word one day will apply if we get a person who comes up with that, where they will say, look, I'm employing you. You're going to come and work for me, whether you're a man or a female. Mm-hmm. You are going to be a sex worker on my behalf. I will give you a salary, and I will also give you the benefits in medical aid terms, unemployment insurance fund, and all other benefits. And you will be referred to as a sex worker. I can leave my home at this time of the afternoon and go to my place of employment and dress differently and go and do my sex work throughout the night, or even in other countries like the, I think Belgium, they do also sex, they have sex workers that do work during the course of the day. Mm. So it is not in the night only. There you have a situation where it is very much fluid. It develops from one generation to the next. Mm. And it is not illegal in such a country. So you must know this part. If it is legal in your country, you must check whether it is legal in the next country.
Yeah.
Like we are talking as advocates, even here in the nine divisions we have. If the fact that some practice is going on here in Johannesburg and Pretoria does not suggest that it is the same practice in Bisho or Umtata. It's not like that. I've got to check, how do they practice in that particular court? It's exactly the same principle when it comes to law. The fact that we do not have the death sentence here does not mean that applies to Botswana. Botswana has the death sentence, and that is the law. And they look at us in Botswana and they say, although it is the law to you, it is... although it is the law to you to abolish the death sentence, we would like to keep it as part of life. But Christians there in that country will easily tell you that you are also immoral in your country to abolish the death sentence. And we would be telling them, no, we are not immoral. This is the law on our part. Don't come and dictate terms to us, because that's the law. And you have the law being completely something that a phenomenon that is standing because it is written down, or it is that which we practice and it is acceptable in the courts of this country, in parliament, and in all life situations we have. That's the law. So morality, if I have broken some rules of practice, you can always be forgiven because maybe it has changed the color, it has changed the practice, and therefore, it is acceptable. Let me close and say, if you are going to use your moral sense in a legal situation and you commit an offense, the law will prevail. Not your morality.
Yeah.
The law will prevail. Mm. The law is above all of us, and hence constitutionalism in this country is such that we say our constitution is the Bible in this country. They liken it to the Bible, whereas at first we used to have the Bible above all else. This country being now a secular country, we are all part of constitutionalism. Mm-hmm. When we speak according to what the constitutional rights we have and the constitution tells us to do or not to do. I needed to close it in that angle.
Beautiful. Well, Advocate Bangi, see, quite a very extensive explanation there, a very clear and quite succinct. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been quite a pleasure, and always a pleasure, actually, to speak to you here on AWR. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. God bless you, man.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Shop, shop.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.